of glory land.
We're delighted that God has watched over us, blessed us to go and to come again safely. Dine sumptuously. We dined sumptuously before we went to dine safely. You'll get that in a while, after a while. Tonight, we have a stranger with us, to some of you. But others, well-known gospel preacher. Ladies and gentlemen, the evangelist.
We're singing in times of glory, I now can see. Oh, brother, won't you come go with me? Say from the mountain I soon shall stand. In times of glory, land.
Amen. Good evening, Sandy Lane. It's always good to be in the house of the Lord. I try to sneak in here. Tory Willie Brown, I just want to sit and listen. But he don't listen. But my preacher said, always be prepared, just in case. But I just respect Brother Brown so much. He one of those kind of preachers that he's probably the only one I know can call me on Thursday and say, you're preaching on Sunday. But we appreciate the opportunity always to come just to share a word from the Lord. Everybody doing all right tonight? Yes, amen. Is it hot enough for you? Yes. It was 103 degrees up my way on yesterday. We were supposed to have a church picnic. We had to cancel it because a lot of folks are already canceling out on us. Amen. But they had something going on today. Tonight I want to just take a look at an old familiar passage of Scripture in Ephesians chapter 4. Where the Apostle Paul sits in prison and he writes to a church trying to encourage them in the way of the Lord. Previously, he had talked about putting on the new man and how to develop a relationship in the body of Jesus Christ. Around verse number 29, he said, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it might minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you." Let the church say amen. When I think about these few verses of Scripture, I just can't help to think about how important forgiveness is. It is really the foundation of the church. Because all of us needed to be forgiven in order to enter into the Church of Christ. I know sometimes people think that when I got baptized, God really just had to dust me off and put me in the church. But the truth be told, we needed some bleach, some Brillo pads, and some work needed to be done because we were showing up guilty of sin. Some of us were ringleaders, chief of sinners, if you will. But Paul talks to this church about some very important issues in this sixth chapter. The first three chapters, he talks about what God had done for the church. And the latter three chapters, he talks about what the church had to do one towards another. So we see this horizontal relationship, or this vertical relationship, as well as the horizontal relationship. But we can all be assured that you won't be in the church very long without being rubbed the wrong way. Whenever a group of people get together, different backgrounds, different makeup, different personalities, different idiosyncrasies, different weirdoisms, different peculiarities, we're going to bump each other the wrong way. There'll be times when somebody has whispered behind your back, maybe even lied to your face, maybe didn't shake your hand, didn't laugh at your joke, or frowned on your blessings, criticized your efforts, or turned to others and turned them against you. If so, you have to practice forgiveness. It was Jesus on the cross of Calvary who said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." I think Paul is trying to help the church to be a loving, warm church. Since at the last verse he says, "God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you." Or for God's sake, you ought to forgive others. There is nothing that they can do to you that doesn't want forgiveness on their behalf. So we cannot be holding grudges. We cannot be walking around with a chip on our shoulder. We can't be having rocks in our pockets, grinding our teeth, having an axe to grind, or envying others, or being hostile towards them. Got a bone to pick with them. Wind in your jaws or your lips be trembling. We have to learn how to forgive one another. I want to talk just for a few moments from the subject, the power of a forgiving church. Can you imagine what kind of church we could be if everybody was willing to forgive each other? Can you imagine the New Testament church being so united together that they didn't let petty differences keep them from the main thing? Keeping their eyes focused on the Lord Jesus Christ and making sure that fulfilling the Great Commission, fulfilling Christ's mission, is what we were all about. For the Bible says in Acts chapter 1 that all that were together, they were on one accord. In other words, by the time we get to chapter 2, they were praying together in one place. By the time we get to chapter 4, the Bible says they were of one heart and one mind. And when the people have their minds on pleasing God, there is no telling what we can do for the cause of Jesus Christ. I think when we are unwilling to forgive each other, see, it's easy to forgive folk who haven't done you wrong. It's easy to tell us, "Oh, child, just forgive and forget. Move on." But when it's you the one hurting, when they have mistreated you, that's the acid test of whether or not we believe the scripture to be right. When we unite our forces and not allow hurt and pain to stand in the way, but to absorb it in the name of Jesus. Take one for the team, if you will, that we can win this thing for the Lord Jesus Christ. I was sharing a story earlier with Brother Brown about the two preachers who had visited the insane asylum. And they was on this tour, and the tour guide was showing them all the different activities. And one preacher said, "Well, how many patients are in this hospital?" He said, "Well, it's about 1,000 patients." He said, "Ooh." He said, "Wouldn't it be something they all just got together and attacked us?" The tour guide said, "Impossible. Lunatics don't work together." In other words, I ain't calling you a lunatic. I'm just saying that when we hold petty differences, it's hard to work together. You have this group upset with that group and this group upset with that group. And it's hard to get together because everybody's in their own little pocket doing their own little thing. But when we work together, there has to be a time when we have to forgive one another. It's a simple plan. You remember in Matthew chapter 18 when Jesus talked about if your brother transgress against thee, he said, "Go to your brother and him alone." In other words, he's giving us a simple plan, a remedy of how to resolve differences in the body of Jesus Christ. He told him on one occasion, he said, "Be ye angry, but sin not. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath." So in other words, before 5:59, you ought to resolve that thing. Don't go to bed angry at your brother. Go talk to your brother. Forgive your brother. And then he goes on a little later in verse number 21. Peter said, well, how often should I forgive my brother? How many times do I have to forgive that rascal when he sins against me? And you know, Peter always was straightforward. Peter said seven times. Now, according to a tradition, the rabbi suggests five, you know, and Peter, he went above the rabbi. Peter said seven. Seven is a number of completion, perfection, if you will. But Jesus said, I didn't say seven. He said 70 times seven. See, Peter trying to be a legalist, and you're probably thinking, too, if you're a legalist, so 490 times. No. As much as it takes, as much as you have to, you have to forgive your brother, not necessarily because he deserves it, but you do it because of your relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you don't want to be walking around with a chip on your shoulder, with an axe to grind, with rocks in your pocket, with a bone to pick, because you can't enjoy the fellowship of the Lord with all this anxiety and this hostility in your own heart towards your brothers and sisters in Christ. I know I'm preaching to the choir, but that's okay. Choir need preaching too. Amen, somebody. So Peter wanted to know, how long should I deal with this fella? He's rubbing me the wrong way. And you don't have to be in the body long enough to know that there will be those who will rub you the wrong way. I'm guilty of doing it sometimes. Every once in a while, I might offend somebody. There have been times members come and say, Brother Goodman, you said something, and I didn't really appreciate what you said, and I have to correct that thing. I got to let them know, what did I say? Oh, no, I'm sorry. I did not mean that. That wasn't intended to hurt you. You are my brother. You are my sister. I love you. And if I've done anything to offend you, I want to make it right now. Because we're in this thing together. We're not only trying to go to heaven together, but we want to enjoy the journey together. So we have to learn how to forgive one another. Sometimes you have to forgive a person even when they don't know you've done it. I remember growing up in the church, and a friend of mine, he went to Southwestern and graduated. And then when he got back, you know, everybody was all excited and everything. And I'm working in the Bible school department. I was working with fourth and fifth grade boys about maybe 6-7 years. And then he came back, and they promoted him to superintendent. I'm like, what's going on here? You see? And so, little did he know, I had animosity in my heart. Couldn't hardly shake his hand, Brother Brown. You know, I had him on my eye. And one day it dawned on me that I'm not hurting nobody but myself. We were in the restroom one day, and I looked at him and said, Kevin, man, I need to apologize to you. He said, for what? Because I've had evil in my heart towards you. He said, for what? What'd I do? I said, you didn't do anything. It's what happened to you. You were promoted over me, and I had a problem with it. That's probably why I didn't get it, because I had a problem that I didn't know about called envy. Yes. Amen, somebody. Yes. Envy is the rottenness of the bone, the Bible says. It'll eat you up from the inside. So the thought is that I had a problem with my brother, and he didn't even know it, but I had animosity in my heart. I had to apologize, yes. Yes, and he had to forgive me. So we got to forgive our brother so we can restore our brother. We all need forgiveness. Paul said, for all have sinned, and all have fallen short of the glory of God. He said, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. It is our responsibility to forgive. There are a number of things that we can get done if we would just do more forgiving. One old preacher say, I love forgiving people. When a person comes down front and says, brothers and sisters, I have sinned. And I need y'all to pray for me, that God will forgive me. I need the church to forgive me. It just makes sense for me to tell them, brother, we forgive you. Amen. People need to know they can come to church and get forgiveness. If you can't get forgiveness from the house of God, tell me where can you get some? And so if Jesus Christ has forgiven all of us, then certainly we can forgive one another. And as we work together in the body of Jesus Christ, we learn how to put the church first. It's always about the church. Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you. We are to strive to be faithful members of the body of Jesus Christ. The Bible said, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of righteousness. We want to hear the Lord say in the last day, well done, thou good and thou faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things, and I'm going to make you ruler over many. We ought to love the church. We ought to be willing to lay down our lives for the brethren. We ought to show some love every once in a while. And John said, we ought to love not in word only, but in deeds. Amen. We ought to use our talents for the Lord. Whatever you can do for the man, you ought to be able to do for the Lord. Yes, when you give your best on the job, and some of us got awards from the job. Perfect attendance awards. Anybody, don't raise your hand. We got awards on the job. I gave a person a job one time, and they brought me something back. I said, what about this? I said, well, if this was your job, what would you do? Oh, I would do this and do this. I said, well, go do that. Put the same thought and energy in the kingdom that you do for the man Monday through Friday. Amen? Use your talent. Give God your best. We ought to abide by just decisions. If the leadership decide to go right, we ought to want to go right. We ought to be faithful in attendance to the Lord. We ought to be willing to support the church financially. We ought to be living right, defending the church, praying for the church. That's the things the scriptures teach us to do as members of the body of Jesus Christ. But sometimes an unforgiving spirit can slow us down from giving our all to the kingdom of God. In Mark chapter 11, the scriptures say, when you stand praying, forgive. In other words, you ought to forgive so your prayers won't be hindered. Jesus told them in Matthew chapter 5, if you go to the altar to offer up your sacrifice, and there you remember that your brother has aught against thee, and he said, put your offering down, go be reconciled to thy brother, then come offer your sacrifice. In other words, God wants unity. He wants a clear mind, a clear conscience, if you will. Not just clean hands, but a pure heart. He don't want you coming to the altar knowing that the person who sits the row behind you, you got a problem with them. Amen, somebody. I remember somebody had a problem with somebody one time, and one of the brothers who had did somebody wrong was serving communion. And it's a funny thing to watch. Church folk funny. And he went to serve somebody, they wouldn't even take communion. Because he's serving. We got to make sure we're right. Not just with God, but with one another. That there is no fatherhood without brotherhood. And when you're not right with your brother, you're not right with God. So we have to learn how to forgive. Sometimes you just got to take a shot for the team. Yes, you were done wrong, but you are a child of God. And you have to practice forgiveness so that your prayers won't be hindered. Remember he said, God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. In other words, you want to be forgiven, you got to do some forgiving. Go back to Matthew 18 real fast. You remember Jesus answered Peter, who was trying to legalize forgiveness? And you always have some legalistic folk in the church. Remember he said, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain man who took account of his servants. He began to reckon one he bought unto him, to owe him 10,000 talents. But he didn't have enough to pay. His Lord commanded him to be sold, his wife, his children, his land, all that he had, the payment be made. The servant therefore fell down, worshiped him, saying, Lord, have mercy with me. I will pay thee all. The Lord of the servant was moved with compassion, loosed him and forgave him of the debt. The same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants that owed him 100 pence, took him by the throat, Lord have mercy, amen, saying, pay thee what you owe me. And the fellow servant fell down, sounds to me, doesn't it? And besought him, saying, have patience with me, I will pay thee all. And the Bible says he would not, But he went and cast him into prison. That's debtor's prison. And you stayed there till the debt was paid. And he would not, the Bible says. So when the fellow servants saw what was done, there's always somebody watching you. They were very sorry. They came and told the Lord what was going on. And the Lord, when he heard that, he called the servant and said, "You wicked servant, I forgave you of your debt when you asked me to. Why you can't forgive this person who asked you?" Amen. "You owe me a large sum. They just owed you a little bit. And you cannot have compassion on them." In other words, if I had compassion on you. See, sometimes we forget that God forgave us. We forget what we had to be forgiven of. I know members of the church. I got a couple of them who murdered somebody. I baptized a guy one time who got out of jail for murdering another member's sibling. And I didn't know. I'm not from the city, but, you know, I mean, I took that guy's confession. We're going to baptize this guy. And, you know, Brother Brown, nobody wanted to get up and help him change his clothes. Because they knew something I didn't knew or didn't know. And I'm trying to explain them that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. There is no sin that you can commit that God cannot forgive. And if we believe that there are certain sins that God won't forgive, we might as well shut the church down. His forgiveness is not limited. I was somewhere visiting and they're having the pulpit for something, and confession time, some folk came down the aisle and the song leader leaned over to me and said, "She's down here every Sunday." Huh? I said, "Well, maybe she needs forgiveness." Amen, somebody. And then on another occasion, there was a sister who was criticizing one of the young girls who got pregnant and she wasn't married. I said, "Well, you got to learn how to pray for people. You got to learn how to forgive people. You got to learn how to have compassion on people." This man had compassion. I said, "By the way, sister, how long you been married?" 29 years. I said, "Well, how old is your son?" 31. She said, "Oh, I know. God forgave me." I said, "Well, God is still in the forgiving business. He did not shut the door of forgiveness after you sin." We forget sometimes that we needed forgiveness. And there are people coming after us who need forgiveness as well. And we shouldn't be holding people hostage because we don't want to forgive what they had done. Well, Jesus was telling him, "Look, if you are unwilling to forgive them, then God will not forgive you." Notice verse 35. "So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if you from your hearts forgive not every one his brother that trespasses." The acid test is, can you forgive when it happens to you? You know, sometimes the scriptures look funny, you know, when it's your turn. I remember some years ago, something like I was baptizing all men one particular year, and it seemed like the men I was baptizing, they had no jobs. So we're doing a lot of work in that area. I spent a lot of time in Matthew chapter 6 about trusting God and putting the kingdom first. The Lord will add, "He'll give you this, what you need. You don't have to worry about that." But, you know, memorize the whole chapter. And then Brother Brown and I got laid off. All of a sudden, that scripture didn't mean the same thing. You ever felt that? It didn't mean the same thing. It's happening to me. See, sometimes that happens when it's your turn to be offended. When it's your turn to be rubbed the wrong way. When it's your turn to be in the line of fire. When it's your turn to drop the stone and have mercy on somebody. That's the acid test of whether or not you believe the word of God. Then finally in the text, note what he says. He told them at the end, you ought to forgive so you won't grieve the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is living in our lives. He said, grieve not the Holy Spirit. You got to let all bitterness. That's some stuff you got to let go. Sometimes church folk can be the meanest folk. Amen, somebody. I mean, you just, You're supposed to have God in your life. You're supposed to have the Holy Spirit dwelling in you. How can we sometimes just mean sometimes? You know any mean folk in the church? Don't even. I ain't trying to. But he's talking to church folk. And he's telling them he has all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, put away from you. Even Peter said, as newborn babes, you ought to learn how to lay aside, put aside. That's some stuff, and receive with meekness. You got to put some stuff out of your life so you can get some more stuff in your life. But if you're not letting go of the old man, if you're still taking care of business like you was before you was a Christian, if you're not allowing the Holy Spirit to lead you and guide you into all truth, in essence, you're grieving the Holy Spirit. If you've ever been in a grieving stage in your life, somebody close to you died. Somebody you love died. You're in this grieving stage. And if you've ever read the books about the four parts of grieving, you know, sometimes you can be bereaving over something or grieving over something. And, you know, it may last a long time. I got some brothers my age whose mothers died 30 years ago, and they still having a problem on Mother's Day. So you can go through this pain, this agony. You can be anxious or have anxiety attacks, things along that line because of grieving. So the thought is, when you grieve the Holy Spirit, you become sad. He said, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. God gave it to you until the day of redemption. The Holy Spirit is living in you. I used to tease folk in the church who smoke. Because every church got some smokers. Not in Richmond, you know, other places. Or somebody who like to drink whiskey every once in a while. I remember Marsh Keefe used to say, you know, you baptize folk, you know, we can baptize them in gasoline, if the Bible says so. Just tell the smoking brothers to get back. Amen. But the thought is that I'll say, you know, if you keep smoking a cigarette, the Holy Spirit is living in you and he got to wear a gas mask. Or for those of you who are drinking whiskey, he got to have an umbrella. I'm trying to give them to see in a humorous way that the Holy Spirit lives in you. And you got to be aware that the Spirit of God is in you. Don't do anything to sadden the Spirit of God. It makes him sad. Because like any good parent would be, when two children are at war with each other, it grieves your heart. When that kind of drama is in your family. When children are fighting one another, it hurts you because you love both of them the same. God loves all his children. When I look at scripture, it's only really three times that God broke the silence of heaven. Well, one was Christ. The first time when Jesus was getting baptized, remember? Yes. A voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved son and whom I'm well pleased. So the thought is that baptism is important to the Lord. And then the next time we see, when Peter was talking that talk about, let us build three tabernacles, a voice came from heaven saying, no, this is my beloved son. Hear ye him. No, don't mess with the church. It's important to God. But then when Paul was persecuting the church, and a voice came from heaven, and he said, who art thou? Jesus? Lord? Who? He said, I'm Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. Was he doing something to Jesus? He was doing something to his church. God don't like you messing with his children because he loves all his children. So you can't have animosity against God's children. He said, put that stuff out of your life, that bitterness, the wrath, the anger, the clamor, evil speaking. You can't even be talking bad about God's children. He says, but be kind one to another. Tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. We got to have a forgiving spirit. People rub you the wrong way, you got to say, I forgive them. I'm not going home having fried preacher, stew song leader, bake usher. You know, we're going to eat up the church for dinner. Bite and devour one another. Amen, somebody. Talk behind each other's back. You remember the story I told, I don't know if I told it here, but about the couple who came to church and, you know, they had something negative to say every service. They had Junior strapped in the car seat in the back. They ride home just chewing the church. Oh, they did. I didn't like this. That there didn't make no sense. What about that over there? You know. And Junior chimed in. Someone said, what you say, Junior? He said, I thought it was a pretty good show. We all got in for a dollar. That'll come home a little bit. It made them think. I put on my, that story, out of the mouth of babes. Sometimes it takes somebody to help us see ourselves. See, the reason you down talking to everybody because something wrong with you. If you only put a dollar in, your heart not right. What we need to do is just learn how to forgive one another. You see, when we stop grieving the Holy Spirit, His power began to flow through us. Spirit-filled people are not held bondage to malice and anger. I can't walk around with that kind of hostility in my heart, especially against my brothers and sisters in Christ. Brothers and sisters, it's a powerful thing for the church to be a forgiving church. A place where we can unite our forces together. A place where we can put our heads together. Everybody wants to be forgiven. That's why we come to the Lord in the first place. In order to be forgiven. A story is told about a son who left home, was gone for a mighty long time. It hurt his father's heart. He put an ad in the local newspaper. Peco, this is your father. Please come home. All is forgiven. And they put it out. Please meet me by the town square at the clock tomorrow at noon. You know, when the father got there, there were about 100 Pecos there who wanted to be forgiven by their dad. No, but there's a lot of people out there who are looking for forgiveness. They know they have done things that are wrong. I tell my folks, some of y'all walk in here with guilt written over your forehead. No, good and well, you ain't act right all this week. You need to come to the house of God and get relieved. Amen, somebody. Take your burdens to the Lord. You need to ask for forgiveness. You need some prayer. You need to make things right with God. And you ought to ask for forgiveness, and forgiveness ought to be granted, and we shouldn't be bringing up every week. You was here last week, wasn't you? But we all need forgiveness because we all have done something wrong. But the good news is there's power in a forgiving church. Now, we're not given license to sin. Romans 6, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? This is not the Catholic Church where you just go on, do all your dirt, and hurry up and make it to confession night. Get absorbed and go right back. Do it again. That's playing Russian roulette with your soul. That's not what God wants us to do. Yes, we stumble and we fall. Yes, we do things that are not right from time to time. Maybe wrong crowd. But thank God for forgiveness. God forgives us, but we also need the church to forgive us. There are things we do publicly that demands a public confession. There are things that we do privately that demands a private confession. I tell my folks, if you and your wife in the car and you're arguing, y'all don't have to come down from the church and tell everybody that. Go get back in the car and make things right. But if you've done something that embarrassed the church, then the church needs to forgive you because it hurts the reputation of the church. So that's why we come and make public confession. But if a person is strong enough and wise enough to come make a confession, the least we can do is to forgive them. Now, forgiveness works if repentance does. A person needs to be sincerely wrong, or sincerely honest, and ask God for forgiveness. And if God can forgive them, surely we can forgive them as well. Does anybody need forgiveness? Maybe here you're not a member of the body of Jesus Christ. Forgiveness is a street you need to be on. You can get it tonight. You've heard His word. The question is, do you believe it with all your heart? Are you willing to repent of your sins? Say, confess your faith in Jesus Christ. Submit yourself to water baptism. All your sins will be washed away. That's the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can stand before God if you die tonight, innocent from all the stuff you've done before you went down in the liquid tomb. If you're a member of the body of Christ, maybe you're still struggling with some of this stuff in your heart, bitterness and anger and clamor and all this stuff. You're grieving the Holy Spirit. You ought to leave with that burden lifted tonight. Ask God for forgiveness. Ask the church to pray for you and to forgive you and leave this place 10 pounds lighter, knowing that you and God are back as one again. Let us together stand and sing the Savior's invitation. Hope I helped somebody.
Come from the loathsome way of sin. I